So this is the group talking all about how to create your own mastermind, masterclass, five-day challenge, all those good things. And I just want to give an overview real quick, and then we're going to get on with the topic. When you're creating a five-day challenge or a masterclass or a mastermind, you have to start with, and it's like a five-step process. You have to start with write out your framework, you know, what you're going to name it and all that, and what problems are you solving? And then as soon as you decide what it's going to be about and the framework that you're going to do, then you have to figure out, well, what platform am I going to do it on? And so today's conversation is all about platform. And then you move on to say, well, now once I get what I'm doing and the problem I'm solving and what platform I'm using, well, then what prices am I going to set? And what am I going to do for a VIP offer? And then you move on to, once I have that all together, how do I create my landing page or my invitation to get people to tap into what I'm doing? And then finally, the last step is launch day. And, you know, once I launch, where am I going to post all the replays? And then how am I going to follow up and test and measure how all of that worked out for the next one? So again, if you're taking notes, number one is, what problem are you solving? And what is the framework? In other words, what problem are you going to bring up on each of your session of your five sessions? And what are you going to name this mastermind or masterclass or challenge? And step two is, what platform are you going to do all of this on? And number three is, what is your price point and what is your VIP offers? Number four is, how are you going to put together your landing page and your all of your invitations, all of your marketing? And then number five is your launch day. Where are you going to post all of your replays? Is that going to be a part of your VIP pricing? And then following up and testing and measuring how it turned out so you can adjust for the next one. And so I know both of you gals have already done a masterclass or a challenge. And so you already have an idea of how all this works and what platform that you're on, but it's always worth a look, because some of these platforms you start off, and I will give you an example. You start off on a platform that's working really well for you, and then for some reason they might change up their end of it, and all of a sudden it's not going to work for you anymore. And now you're scrambling trying to decide, what am I going to do? And a perfect example for me was, my website was on Vista, and VistaPrint decided to get out of the website business. And so now it's not all bad. They decided to hold hands with Wix, which I like Wix. But what happened was, they tried, I'll call it in the back of the house, they tried to roll all their Vista stuff over to Wix. And so everyone's websites came out a little Frankenstein. They weren't all quite lined up, you know, because their plugins are different, and they tried to match it as close as they could, because of course their goal is to not lose any customers. So anyhow, you had to go in and be able to, you know, clean that up and make it look the way you want it to look. And I'm still not done. I'm, because I had three websites over there, so I'm still trying to figure out my platform over there. And what I'm going to do. So anyway, that's just an example. And also with my Teachable, I started off on Teachable as a platform to put all of my courses on. And midstream, they decided to change up their pricing and how many courses or classes you could do for their different levels of pricing. And it forced me to have to go up a level, which I'm sure was their plan. You know, when their marketing people got together, they said, we need to tighten this up a little bit and get people to, you know, move up the ladder. And so, you know, once you reach a certain price point, you start to ask yourself, is this really the platform I want to stay on? Or, you know, is it going to go up again? Or if I do what I'm thinking I want to do, it's going to put me in yet another higher price level. Do I really want to shop around and look for a different platform? So the platform you choose is important. You're not tied into it forever. You can always make a change, but it is important when you get started. And I always say it's better to start than to analyze for years on what platform you want. So, because you can change it. It's not like you're tied in there forever. It's a little bit of work to change it, which is, of course, what the folks that do these platforms are hoping, you know, once you do all the work to get uploaded and start using their platform, they want you to be so comfortable and so ingrained into their platform that when they do a price increase, you go, ah, it's only $20 more a month, I'm staying, you know, it's not worth it for me to make the change. And so everybody has their own price point level where it becomes a no-go, where you just say, you know what, I'm not going to go one more price point level. I don't want to spend that much money. You look at maybe how many folks are buying into your program, and you have to make a financial decision as to what platform you're going to stay on. So we want to look at some platforms today about doing a live meeting, and there's plenty out there. And these are just a few that came up when I did the actual search. And I just said, what are the top 10? Some of these I've never even heard of. And so on the top 10, this is Capterra. And this is just a site where it gives you statistics. Capterra will group together whatever question you have when you're looking for software. They're all about software. And so on this one, they said that one is called Onboard. And we're just going to take a peek here and view the website. And it's a management thing. Linda, I think these are going to be, and it's going to make me sign up, of course, to request a demo. So yeah, it's not going to really give me, maybe it will. But Linda, you have an all-inclusive type platform, and I'm thinking that's what this Onboard is. It says that it's a management software. So I'm thinking that this one comes up number one because it's all inclusive, and it's a management software that also has a Zoom-like video inside. And so folks have switched. I'm looking to see if there's a price point. You can see it in action. There's a whole, again, this is just their website. I was looking to see if they had their prices. Here's where you can compare some different ones across the board. And I don't see their price point. I was hoping maybe some of these had, they give you all kinds of testimonials.
You know what? As you were sliding down the screen, it mm-hmm. said something about all-inclusive board management software.
Yes.
So it's really for boards. There, board governance.
It says the Onboard board intelligence platform is designed to work the way you do, addressing real world needs and reducing complexity so boards and leadership teams can work smarter. So this would work if you had a team. I've worked with a couple of publishers and they use these all-inclusive managements because they have a team out there. Looks like I have somebody coming in. I couldn't see who was coming in. Oh, it's Debbie. Hi, Debbie. Sorry about that. I was sharing my screen and I couldn't see who was coming in.
Sorry.
So anyway, this is it's a management tool, but it can be any type of a company that has any sort of a team where I'm working with a guy right now who he is a publisher and has a magazine. And so he has editors. He has his art people. He has his actual publishing team. He's got a team of maybe 20. And so he's on a software program like this because it's a management system where they all can tap in. He controls the whole system, but they all can tap in and see what their duties are and that sort of thing. And so again, I don't know that, you know, that you need something this involved. But it's online meeting software. So this is where you can come online and do your mastermind and invite your folks there and have them all participating. But see, there's all kinds of EventSquid, eScribe. Some of these I've never heard of. Here's Free Conference Call. I've used Free Conference Call before I started using Zoom. And again, I think these might make us actually sign up. I was hoping that they would give us some pricing. But here's the features. You have screen sharing, you've got video, a dedicated number, call detail reports, up to 1,000 callers. So you could have up to 1,000 people tap in, 24/7 customer service, free recordings, and multiple sharing options. And so again, I use this one before I use Zoom. And I was just looking to see, none of them are going to give us a price. Because a lot of them will have a free version before they start charging. And that's what I was hoping on these websites, that they would give you some pricing, but it doesn't look like they are. So anyway, that's the free conference calling. Here's a start meeting one. I've seen this one before as well, have not used it. And again, it talks about having an online meeting. You can have your free trial. So we do know that since it says free trial, that they do charge, is they're just giving you a free trial. And this just is their marketing, trying to show you how many folks in the world out there are using them. And here they do. This one you can have for $10 a month for 1,000 participants. And Zoom is, this one's giving you a little bit of a comparison, which is what I was looking for. Zoom starts off at $14.99 per host a month with only 100 participants. And here for $10 a month, you can have 1,000. GoToMeeting is only 250 participants, and the Cisco WebEx is 200 participants. And you can see their price points here. So this is what I was looking for, was one that would do some sort of a comparison like that. And again, I'm on Zoom. I don't know that I would switch, but if financially I decided that I really needed to downsize everything and I might look at some other options, I might look at this one. And it's called Start Meeting is the name of it. And there is a free trial. So again, there's just options out there. It's everybody's trying to get a piece of the pie. You know, when you, they've got audio quality here, HD screen sharing. See, they're trying to give you all their kudos. You know, you get optional access codes, instant messaging, smart meeting phone. So lots of features. So again, it depends on what it is that you're looking for. And it looks like you can go for 30 days before you have to, you know, choose their base program. And so that puts us to the bottom. So anyway, this one would be in the running for me, this Start Meeting. This one would definitely be in the running. And it was in the top 10 here. But many of these, and again, like Linda said, this Onboard, it probably is too big of a program for what I'm doing. You know, I probably don't need everything, but it gives it a 4 out of 4 out of all of these. But it does give the eScribe a 3 out of 4, ConnectWise 4 out of 4. So this one looks like it gets some good features. Let's just visit this and see if it gives us anything that we're looking for here. Again, they want you to sign up. Great for internal IT, remote workforce. Yeah, see, this isn't exactly what we're looking for. This is so it can connect your team together. It's not necessarily for outside conference calls like a Zoom would be. And this one's a 3 out of 4. This free conference call is definitely one that is in the running, and it has free right in the name, the free conference call. And again, like I said, I used it before I started using Zoom. Not sure why I switched. I think because everybody else was on Zoom. If you remember when the pandemic hit, it's like everybody was on Zoom. And so I think I ended up over there because I was on all these Zoom calls all week and I got comfortable using the software. But prior to that, I did use the free conference call, which worked really well, if I recall. But I do like the Start Meeting one as well. So now, what is everyone else using currently? I'm comfortable with Zoom. I like some of the features, and we're going to click in. I'm going to show you that. Linda, did you use Zoom when you did your, was yours called a challenge or a mastermind? What did you call yours when you were, or more of a class?
I did mine as a class, and I did use Zoom for our group coaching calls.
Okay. And so you're comfortable with Zoom so far? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see that Start Meeting one. That's interesting.
Yeah. Ruth, what one did you use when you did yours?
Zoom.
Yeah. And again, I did Zoom. I think I went from free conference call over to Zoom because everyone was using Zoom that I was connecting with. And I just got comfortable with the platform.
And I know when I was I'm sorry, I interrupted
you. No, go ahead.
When I was using freeconferencing.com or, you know, free conferencing, it didn't have video.
Oh.
So like when, I think when, back when you, with Terry and Seth, it was just a phone. It was just voice.
Right, back in the day. Yeah, that's what I remember.
But I don't know if freeconferencing, you know, if they changed and add video, I would think they'd have to, but I have never looked into it.
Yeah, it does have video today. So yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Debbie, you're doing the Fireside Chat with Debbie Marks and you're using Zoom. Have you explored other options or did you just go, or were you like me? You went with Zoom because that's what everybody was doing and you knew the platform.
Exactly. And my company uses Zoom for all of our classes, everything that we do is on Zoom.
Okay.
And it works.
Yeah. And you got comfortable using it. Yes. I get that.
Yeah.
Yep. I get that. So anyway, I want to go and take a peek and see, bear with me here. I got to move. I always have to figure out how to move all of our faces around here. I want to see if it'll just give me a breakdown on Zoom. Oh, that's not what I want. This is getting data information. I don't want that. That's not what I was looking for.
That might be an ad.
Yep. I'm just looking for the Zoom.
Well, Zoom is zoom.us. So you might be able to find a pricing tab if you do that. Like the actual URL, zoom.us.
And see if they have an actual pricing page.
There you go, official website.
Contact us, chat.
There should be a pricing tab if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for, but here's the Zoom right here, but I don't see one.
But it's basically like $150 a year, I think, if you pay annually. Wouldn't that be about right?
Yeah, that's why I was looking to just find their actual breakdown, and I don't see it.
Man, they're all going kind of clandestine, aren't they?
They are. Yep, I don't see it.
Oh, under sales, third one down.
There we go.
Sneaky. Oh, it was at the top.
Here's what I'm looking for. All right. So on Zoom, they're the basic free one. You get up to 40 minutes per meeting on the free one. And so anyone that just even wants to get started, you can have 100 attendees. You still get the whiteboard, basic included. You still get the team chat, which is new, by the way. And you still get your whole mailing and calendar, you know, layout when you're in there planning your events. The big drawback on the free one is that you just get 40 minutes per meeting. And so I very quickly moved over to Pro because I didn't want that 40 minute limit, but you still only have 100 attendees. Okay. You see that? But your meetings, you can have up to 30 hours per meeting. Well, who's in a meeting for 30 hours? I'm supposing maybe companies that are doing training might be. You still get the whiteboard. You still get the team chat. You still get the mail calendar. You get cloud storage and then some essential apps for a year, which I haven't signed up for any of those. And I use the cloud storage because when I do a Zoom call, I store it into the cloud. I do not store it onto my computer. I store it into the Zoom cloud because I'm trying to create my business where I can run it from anywhere in the world. And so if, like Mark and I, we're going to take off tomorrow for Detroit, as long as I have a Wi-Fi and my laptop with me, I could tap into the cloud from any computer, anywhere, as long as I have a Wi-Fi and access to the Wi-Fi, I could tap in and work with my meeting, with my recording, because it's in the cloud. It's not physically on my laptop. And so then I move it from cloud to cloud. I move it from the Zoom cloud over to my Vimeo cloud, over to my YouTube cloud, and then finally over to my Teachable cloud. So I have that recording three different places. Now, once I do that, because you see the cloud storage is somewhat limited, once I do that, I erase it off of Zoom. I delete it off of Zoom. So I don't know, for those of you that are using Zoom, if you're doing that, if you're going back and deleting your recordings, because at some point you'll get a message that'll say you've used up your cloud storage and they want you to purchase more storage or move up higher into a different plan to upgrade. Now, another thing that I've learned is that I can actually downgrade at any time, because it says that I can still do as many meetings as I want. I can still have up to 100 attendees. And it's not until you get over here into this business classes that, see, this now it bumps you up to 300. Well, some of my real estate ones, I've gone over 100. And so what it does is it tells my attendees that they can't get in because the room is full. And so my choice, see, is to move up here in some of these. You see that? But again, the difference is you still have all of your meetings can go any length. Your attendees go up. You still get the whiteboard across. This one's the basic. You get a little bit better version of the whiteboard in these two. You get team chat clear across. You get all of your mail and calendar still. You get your cloud storage. And in this one, you get more storage. Again, those essential apps, I've never downloaded any of those. To even see what those are. Has anyone downloaded any of the apps that come with Zoom? No one? I haven't. I'll have to see if we can find what apps those are. And then here is some extras over in the business. You get some SSO, some managed domains. You get a phone. You can have translated captions and workspace reservations. So you have some extra stuff over here on these two business ones. But here it says see detail, and I don't know if it'll tell me. Free premium apps for 1 year. I don't know what those premium, oh, here they are. So here are some essential apps that you get for a year. If you're on, you get Note Taker by Fathom. It says never take meeting notes on a Zoom call again. My assumption is it types out what's being said for you. Kahoot, energize meetings, training, and presentations through interactive and game-based elements. This is like icebreaker type games. If you've got a group that you're trying to get everybody to network, you can play a little game. And this app actually interfaces with your Zoom call. Coda brings all your meeting notes, project specs, action items, and teammates in one organized doc. So maybe that's like having your secretary take notes and sending out an overview at the end. I've not really looked into these apps. Here you have AI name tags. Impress your customers with memorable virtual name tags directly in your meetings. Meeting recaps, transcripts, recording. Prezi video for Zoom. Encourage real-time interaction and widespread participation with text and images that appear beside you. I've seen this one. Sherry uses Prezi, and she had it doing all kinds of crazy things around her as she was teaching on Zoom, and it was very entertaining. It did keep your interest. Visual meeting agenda, Funtivity, again, more activities, AI note taking, and visual breakouts. So those are some apps that if you would join one of these different levels. Oops, did I lose it? I did. If you would join one of those different levels, now I got to come back down to my plans and pricing. Here we go. Now that I know where to find it. Because when you look, the essential apps, they do not come with the basic here, with this free basic. They only come with these higher ones. You get these essential apps. And again, it's for 1 year, and then you'd have to pay for those. And then, of course, Enterprise, contact us for pricing. This is where you can have 1,000 attendees. This is where you're doing, you know, the big stuff. And I don't know, I have no idea what that pricing would be. I have no idea if it's different tiers, because again, this one, the highest one here is 300 attendees per meeting. And so this one here says 1,000 attendees per meeting. So I don't know how they would, why they would need to talk to you to come up with a price. You would think if it was 1,000, they would just have a set price for that. So I'm not sure what, how that works. But anyway, those are your options on Zoom. Now, currently I am right here. I am right here on the Pro. And this one seems to be plenty for me. I'm doing about 8 Zoom calls a month, and I pretty much stay under the 100. Every so often I'll go over the 100, but this seems to work for me. Again, you're talking, what, $50 here a month to upgrade if I wanted to go with more attendees. If I find that I'm having over 100 all the time, but my two biggest ones are my real estate. It's my long-term, the 6 F's of real estate, and also the ins and outs of opening a bed and breakfast. Those are my two big Zoom calls. And again, I don't always even go over 100. And sometimes if I do, it's only 2 or 3 over. So I'm pretty content with staying here on the Pro at the moment. So anyway, anybody want to share, and which ones do you guys have currently? What level of Zoom do you have currently? Do you recall offhand?
I have
Pro. Or do you have to look? You have Pro? Okay. Ruth?
I have Pro.
You have Pro? Okay. And Debbie?
Yes, Pro.
Pro? Okay. So we all have Pro. So we're all right in there together. I don't really feel like I need to go shopping at this point for another platform. Although I did kind of like the one that we saw that I was looking at that was less money, depending on what it can do. I would have to do more exploring to know if I wanted to. And again, this is what these platforms are hoping. I have all my meetings already set up. I have everything already on repeat. I have, you know, it's already working. And so it's kind of like, oh, you know, do I really want to go back in and, you know, and redo all of that? Well, the answer is no, if I'm just going to save a couple of bucks. Now, I do want to look and see. I don't know. I haven't tried to look this up, so I don't know if I can show you this or not. But this is my actual meeting, and I want to go to a previous one. And I don't know. I want to find one where they have to actually register. I used to have some of these way back in the day on my Happy House Hunters, but I don't know now. These are all my different meetings. Yeah, these are all the actual masterminds. I wanted to get to some of my, maybe it's in the webinars. I wanted to get to some where they have to register to get in. Okay. This, well, that one's tomorrow. I want an old one. Because I want to show you, if you go to one of your old meetups, and it goes back to I want to do the webinar. Where is it? I'll pick one just to show you where it is. I wanted to show you one that had some. Now, this one was back in May. And if I click on this one, this was an old one. And I scroll down to the bottom of my page. Okay. I had 311 people. Can everybody see that? This is where you find it. You go to an old meetup. You click over here under meetings or webinars, whichever one it is. Then you click on the button to go to previous. I clicked on this one. This one was back in May 23rd. And then when you scroll clear to the bottom, you have to go all the way to the bottom. And then you can view attendee report. And if you click on that, maximum report, 1 month. Let's see. Here are all. And here are the folks that actually showed up. And so if I pick one, and click on it. Oh, I have to click over here. And then I can create a report. Here's what it does for you. Once you open up one of those old ones and click on it, it gives you, are you ready for this? It gives you all of their email addresses. Mm. It gives you all of that. I'm going to scoot this over for any of you that work with, see here. This is your email list. It gives you all of the folks that registered for that meetup. It gives you their name and their email. Don't forget to go into these Zoom meetings and collect your emails and put them over in whatever platform where you're doing your email marketing, your newsletter, whatever it is that you're doing. See all of these? All of these folks signed up for that particular Zoom call.
I'm wondering if you could make like a Zapier Zap and have it automatically grab those and throw them into your CRM.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And this is also, for those that are a little tech savvy, this is also already on a spreadsheet. So you can import it or export it right over to your CRM via spreadsheet. Have you done that? Linda, have you
done that? I haven't actually. I've never done a webinar.
Okay.
So I think now, I may not be able to do what you have there.
You can, as long as when you create your Zoom meeting, you say that you need folks to register.
Uh-huh.
That's the key. You can do it on the meetup side or on the webinar side, as long as when you're creating your meeting, you tell them that you want your attendees to register. Then you get that.
I've not done it, but it's great.
And then if you get it on a spreadsheet, because Zoom gives it to you on a spreadsheet, you can actually export your spreadsheet right out to your MailChimp or whatever, or your Google or whatever you're using to do your marketing.
Nice.
And so don't forget to capture those when you're doing your signups. Ruth, you had your hand up.
Actually, just put it down because this is several paragraphs before this.
Okay, but go ahead.
But when you were going through the app, I realized in some of my Zoom calls that I've been participants in, there's been like a note-taking thing in several, and a lot of them will have two or three. And I think it's people that have done that app
on their Zoom.
I had downloaded Fathom a few months ago because I had seen a demo and it takes digital notes through AI, and then it provides a summary and marks like some of the highlight parts of the conversation. And it turns on automatically, and it became a nuisance for me because it called attention because it was another seat at the table, and it was like, what's that? Yeah. Who has that? Why is it there? And then I think with Kathy, I think we sometimes left it in the waiting room, but that was a distraction. And I ended up having to reformat my computer. And I was like, you know what? I'm not putting that back on. It hasn't served me for what I need at this point.
Well, the one I was in, they were putting us into breakout rooms. And at first they didn't realize that these note-taking things shouldn't go into breakout rooms.
Oh.
But you know, lately they haven't been going into breakout rooms that I've seen. So they probably are separating them out before they send them into breakout rooms. But yeah, it wasn't unusual for two or three to be in a group of about 30.
And it actually is a separate seat at the table.
It is. It's a separate seat at the table.
Yeah, I get it.
And they can even put things in the chat.
Oh, okay. Oh my. That's getting freaky.
I don't know how they're doing that. Now, in fact, I was just watching this before, you know, on the other Zoom calls, but now that Kathy showed us the apps on Zoom, I think, oh, that's where they're getting that.
Yep, that's where they're connecting them to their Zoom application. And mm-hmm. And then when they sign on to a Zoom call, that their app signs on as well. Like Linda said, it's an automatic. It just signs on the same time you sign on. It's just there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a question for you, Ruth. When it put comments in the chat, did it ever say like, I'm sorry, Dave? That's from 2001 Space Odyssey, HAL the computer.
You know, and I can't, now that I know what it is, I'm thinking, because I figured the one that I'm thinking about was this lady's Claire's, and I thought somehow she had her thing put something in there. But I don't know now. I'll have to.
Yeah, I don't know how you get it to comment. I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah, I don't either.
When voice activation first came out, a friend of mine, he was playing around with Siri. And so he said, Siri, he goes, if I have 10 friends times zero, how many friends do I have? And Siri goes, I'm sorry, Bill, you have no friends.
That's good.
So, you know, you never know, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's, and it's the way it's going. It's, you know, we're going to see more of it, not less of it. Mm-hmm. So we need to be aware of what it is and what it can do. So now we have a little bit more knowledge about all of that.
I'll tell you something funny. What is the name of the Siri equivalent on
Alexa
on Windows? I can't remember. Oh. Cortana, maybe?
Maybe.
Well, she loves my boyfriend. If my computer is on and he talks to me, she perks right up and starts trying to answer anything that he says. But me, I'm like a potted plant, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yep, she loves him.
That's funny. Sometimes I'll be driving along and I'm not looking. I have one of those little things to put my phone in the car so that I can use, you know, when I need my maps. And sometimes I'll hit the wrong button and I'll be driving along and Mark and I will be talking and all of a sudden my phone starts talking to me and she'll say, I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question. And I'm like, I'm not talking to you. So yeah, we do have to understand that this is what's coming. And so we're going to see more of that on these Zoom calls because everybody gets the invitation that's on Pro and higher. They get the invitation to download these apps. So we're going to see more of it, not less of it, as we do these calls, if you choose to stay on Zoom. And again, I don't have any reason to really start shopping other than if for some reason I constantly go over my number and I start needing to go another level. And then I start thinking, do I really want to spend that much money? Do I have something else that can do what I need it to do? Ruth, you have your hand up, but I wanted to ask Linda, does your all-in-one inclusive platform, does it have an option for video meetings or do you have to go outside of your platform to Zoom?
I need to go outside of it, yeah.
Okay, okay. And Ruth, you had your hand up.
I just going to make a comment and because you're not going over 100 a lot, just a little bit, but also that creates scarcity.
Uh-huh. Yes.
If people realize that they don't get on right away, they may not get on. So I would leave it where you're at. I wouldn't think about changing.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with where it is because even if I have 300 register, only about half try to get on when the actual event comes around. And so it's not allowing a handful of people on, but most that want to get on are on. But I have had comments like that. They're like, I didn't get on last month, so I was sure to check in early this time. And I'm like, oh, good. So yes, it is doing that. Yes.
Scarcity is a good thing.
Yes. So any other comments, questions? Are you gals ready to launch? Now I know, Linda, you were thinking about launching soon. Do you have all of your ducks in a row ready to launch your next challenge, class, whatever it is you want
to call it? Yeah, I'm going to do a class in the fall, but I was thinking about trying to put together a challenge that would be just ahead of that. And I haven't decided. I have like two topics. You know, one would be like an overview of the main pillars of the course.
Okay.
And one would be maybe focusing on digital assets and the laws that have been put into place that give people the ability to direct who can see them.
Okay.
And if you don't put the language in place, your family's left high and dry. So I thought that might feel more urgent and more interesting to people to take part in that. And then if they understand that that's only a tiny part of what we do in the course, they might realize the value. So I'm exploring some of those ideas right now.
Okay. I like that. Anyone else getting ready to launch? Not yet. Debbie says not yet.
No, I want to do January with the Friday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good.
January with what?
With
we have a free version of this mastermind.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Everybody, and Linda, you've taken a turn. Well, now everybody's had a turn doing the John Maxwell book. So now we're going back through and everybody gets a turn of doing their own material. And so Debbie wants to launch one in January with her own material. And what material have you decided to use, or have you decided, Debbie?
I'm still working on it, but it's going to be like a book club.
Okay. Well, Ruth just got connected with a book club. So this is exciting.
You did?
Yeah. It's another host story, Debbie.
Uh-oh.
I mean, it's a hilarious story.
It's a great story, though. It's a great, can we share it, Ruth?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think
because it goes right hand in hand with what we're talking about. Because if you as the co-originator decide to do a book, let's just say you say, hey, I'll do one, I'm going to lead one. You'll probably do it, I would think, in a mastermind type environment, you know, where you're going to meet once a week, once a month, or somehow you would put together a series of meetups. So it goes right hand in hand with what we're talking about on launching something. But Debbie, remember, and this is a good lesson too for Linda. Debbie, remember when I called you late one Sunday night and said, hey, there's a meeting on Meetup hanging out there without an organizer?
Yes.
And just so Linda knows what we're talking about, on meetup.com, they have all these different groups and an organizer usually starts the group. Well, what happens is for one reason or another, the organizer decides they don't want to do it anymore. They're either not getting any traction, or they want to retire, or they don't want to pay the meetup fee, because you can do 3 meetups. Don't quote me, I think it's $98 a year, and you can have up to 3 meetups. And some people are like, you know what, if this isn't my livelihood and I don't want to pay that $100 every year, so I'm just going to walk away. So what happens, they step down on the software program itself. You can click to say you're stepping down as an organizer, and you get all these warnings. It says, you do know that your group isn't going to have an organizer anymore. Are you sure you want to do this? And you're like, yes, I want to step down. And they'll say, do you have anyone else that you want to recommend be your organizer? No, I just want to step down. And finally, it gets to the place where there's no organizer, but yet there's a group. And so then Meetup doesn't want to lose their $98 a year, I'm sure. So they send out to the group, hey, there's a group hanging out here and there's no organizer. Do you feel like you could be a leader and you'd like to be an organizer of this group? And you were just a member. And so now you're thinking, I joined this group because I really liked their content. It is in line with what I'm doing. Maybe I could be an organizer for this group. Well, I had picked up three groups that way. And one of the ones that you just saw on the Zoom call, the ins and outs, I did not have a group meeting on Meetup for my short-term rentals. Another girl in Columbus, Ohio, stepped down as an organizer, and there was 500 members in a short-term rental group. And she stepped down, did not appoint another organizer. I knew her personally. I even called her up first and said, did you just forget to pay? Because I didn't want her group to disappear. Because after so many days of Meetup trying to get an organizer, the group just disappears, goes into bye-bye land, never to be seen again. And I told her, I said, I don't know how many years you spent building this group up, but are you sure that you don't want it? And she said, no, I stepped down. She said, we're not getting any mileage from it because they do in-person meetups and the group was too broad. People had joined from other states. People had joined from other countries. And she said, it's too broad. I'm not getting any mileage out of that group. And she said, and I don't want to pay the $98 a year and I'm not getting anything out of it. So she said, I just stepped down. And I said, well, you wouldn't be offended then if I stepped up and became organizer. And she goes, oh, no, knock yourself out. That's where my 300 people that registered at that last Zoom meeting came from. Because I'm on Zoom. I'm not doing an in-person meetup. I'm interviewing a different short-term rental person from around the world every month. And now I'm getting most of my meetings on Zoom. Most of my attendees are from that meetup group. Okay, are you following how all of that worked? So when I saw one that was just kind of a general chat group that the organizer stepped down, I immediately called Debbie on a Sunday night. I'm like, Debbie, you got to get over there and become an organizer before somebody else does. And she's like, what? And so we scurried around and she got in there and grabbed it. She got her account set up and grabbed it and became the organizer. And now that's her fireside chat with Debbie Marks. And it was a ready-made group. Just like in Zoom, where you can find all of the email addresses, your meetup doesn't show you the email addresses, but you can email your meetup group. So once I became the organizer of that group of over 500, I had an automatic mailing list of 500 people that were already interested in short-term rentals because they'd already signed up for that meetup. And so I just started sending out my weekly newsletter of my upcoming events where I say I'm interviewing a bed and breakfast owner this month or this week. I just send that out to all of my meetup groups. And so they started clicking through and registering on my Zoom calls. Okay, so you see where you can use it as a marketing thing. So that brings us up to speed. Ruth calls me and she says, there's a meetup group that doesn't have an organizer and Meetup has already sent out the email saying, would you like to be an organizer? And she called me to say, what do you think? And by the time I immediately went to my computer, I pulled it up, I joined the group so I could see what she was seeing. And by the time we looked at it, someone had stepped up as an organizer. And so Ruth was like, oh, well, I tried, you know. And shortly after that, the new organizer sent out an email saying, you know, here's my vision for this group. I'm the new organizer. Would anybody like to basically co-host with me? And so, Ruth, I'll let you take the story from there.
I think I'm okay, aren't I?
Yeah.
But so I thought, well, I was debating whether I wanted to do this. This was a personal growth group, a book club. And it was in Lawrence, and they had been meeting in person, except they hadn't met very much. But I had just joined it a couple months ago. And I looked at the list of names. I didn't recognize any names. I thought, I wonder what values this group has, whether there would be a good connection there or not. And I knew I had a lot on my plate, and I thought, oh, I don't know if I want to do this or not. And so I was doing wishy-washy stuff for quite a while. And then So when we got on there and Kathy says, it looks like somebody else has done this. They jumped on. But then we got this email and I thought, okay, I'm just going to tell her I'll help her, because she had a really good idea in that there's only two members, and rather than in one big group to do several books concurrently so people could choose a group. And so I did, I sent this off, a message saying, I'd like to help you. I got this message back and said, oh, Ruth, I was so excited when I saw your name on the list. You would be such a great leader. I'm so glad you stepped up. I was hoping you would. And I thought, okay. And she said, let's wait and see if anybody else signs up too, and then we'll make some plans or something. And I said, and I just wrote back, sounds good. And I thought, who is this lady? Who is this lady that knows me well enough that she knew I'd be a great leader for a personal growth book club? I slept on it because I was hoping in the middle of the night it would hit me, you know, like who that is. Well, it didn't. And so when I got up the next morning, I thought, I'm just going to have to tell her I don't remember. And so I did. I said, would you please remind me how we met? She wrote me back right, and she said, silly Ruth, you know who I am. And what had happened, it was a friend that we have really deep phone calls, probably about once every 3 to 6 months. And she had legally changed her name. So I still thought of her as Liz Bolin, and she had legally changed it to Alana Adana. And
I mean, there's no connection there. There's no way you would have connected those two names.
Yeah, and she had told me that the last time we talked that I didn't have anything to write it down on. I thought, oh, I'm just going to think of her Liz. I know she changed her name, and I'll respect that and everything like that. But she's still Liz to me. She's my friend Liz. So anyway, my friend Liz and I right now are going to be working together to do a book club in some way. We'll see how it all works out. But my question is, and this gets a little bit too much, so I'll put it out there, but we don't have to talk about it. If I was planning on doing a book club under my Time to Fly, and I don't think I can do that with co-hosting with this, so it may be two separate things if I decide to keep moving forward with that. So with that, I'll be quiet.
Now, my guess is, as long as, since you and Liz are friends, which is a plus, once you finally realize that you guys know each other, my guess is if you would run it past her and tell her that this is what you have and you've got a lot of back information on this topic and that you would really like to use your book, if she might be okay with that. And you could maybe be, if she, let's say she wants five co-hosts because she wants five different books a month, because you wouldn't be using the same book every month, she might say, well, yeah, go ahead and toss that in for one of your months if you want to use that book, use your own book. I wouldn't discredit it, because you are an author and it is a book club. And what kind of clout is it for her to have the author of the book running the book club? See, well, this is a plus for her.
And I hadn't really thought about that direction. I was just thinking, you know, like I was going to kind of brand a book club, Time to Fly. I can't remember the name I did. Growth Through Reading. No, something Go Through Reading, Thriving Through Books or something like that. So we'll see. We'll see. But yes, that was a very interesting sidebar last week.
Well, and here's what I see happening. I see if she does a book a month and wants to do five books a month, because a book club normally will do a book a month. You know, you can read a book in a month. And so she would maybe have five different books that her members could choose from. And then next month they would have additional five. I'm just tossing the number five out there. Maybe it'll be three, maybe four.
I don't think it'll be that many.
But let's say that, you know, 1 month you are the author and you use your book and she says, yeah, that's fine. And you then from there can say, I'm going to be doing a whole separate book club if anyone is interested. Nice. And as long as she is aware, or you say, do you mind if I promote my own thing at the very end. And if she goes, yeah, I don't mind, then you could actually maybe pick up some members. That might be a great start for you to pick up some members for your own. Because logistically, once you have a meetup account, you can have up to 3 meetups that you are either an organizer or a co-organizer of. I was the co-organizer for Debbie on her Fireside Chat, but I wanted to launch one more lane for myself. And so I purposely stepped down as co-organizer for Debbie so that it opened up me to do a third one on that account. Does that make sense? Because you can do up to 3 of organizer and slash co-organizer. So you, if she puts you on as a co-organizer, which she hasn't at this point, but if she does, Ruth, that would be one for you. You could have 2 more groups on Meetup for the same price without paying more,
having another account. I need to look and see how my Meetup thing is set up.
If she doesn't put you on as a co-organizer and you're just a member in hers, right, you still have 3.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a Meetup account, you can do up to 3 groups on your Meetup account. It's a great marketing tool. I can't say enough about Meetup. I probably get more folks off of Meetup than I do off of my Eventbrite and Facebook combined. I get more traction out of the Meetup group.
I want to go back. I'm changing the subjects. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Linda, I liked your idea of just doing that, virtual asset as a teaser.
Digital assets, right.
Digital assets. Just as a teaser. I don't know if that would be, you'd have enough information to do 5 deals on that or not.
Well, given that like the first and last days, you know, can be kind of filled up on their own, getting acquainted, some initial information, the closeout party, you know, first and last don't have to be real content heavy, maybe. But days 2, 3, and 4 would be pretty much the meat and potatoes, maybe. But I can talk about the law itself and how it came to be and why it's so important and why you need the language in your POA and your will. And then like Google, Apple, Facebook, Yahoo, are some of the ones that have very specific forms you can fill out online for how to handle their product. So I could go a little bit in depth, and part of their homework could be going online and filling that out if they want to. So I don't know. The idea that like all of your digital assets could be lost the day you die, or if you're incapacitated, nobody could run your stuff while you were recovering from like a car accident. I feel like that there's a more of an urgency there that could be kind of attention getting.
Uh-huh. And you know, I'm just thinking out loud with you. You probably already know all this stuff, but like if I saw something, because in my mind, I don't even know what's considered digital asset. And so like in your marketing stuff, you know, to say something, I'm just speaking off the top of my head, but do you have da da da? Do you have that? Do you have that?
Right.
It's going to disappear.
Right.
If you don't do it right.
I just gave a speech last Wednesday and started that way with show of hands.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mm-hmm. everything. It's email account. It's paying your water bill online. Mm-hmm. It's, do you have a website for your business? Do you have social media personally or for your business?
How about all your banking?
Oh, exactly. Your banking. Do you have like fancy newfangled stuff like NFTs and smart contracts? Do you have crypto? Mm-hmm. I mean,
digital wallet.
Yeah. And your like your photos stored in the cloud. Do you have Dropbox? Do you have iCloud? Do you have Evernote? I mean, I get goosebumps. I have goosebumps right now just thinking about how exposed people are, and they have no idea. You get hit by a bus.
Let me know when you. I was going to say, let me know when you're doing your challenge. I need to attend.
Oh, awesome. Yay, I have a sign up.
Now,
you have a sign up.
Now, Linda, it doesn't have to be a 5-day. It can be a 1-day masterclass. Okay. It doesn't have to be a 5-day. It doesn't have to be, you know, a mastermind, okay, a masterclass, a challenge. It could just be a 1-day summit.
Okay.
And where you could even have some speakers if you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, has anyone, and again, changing the subject just a bit, but marketing is everything. Have any of you participated in a summit on Clubhouse?
Yes.
Ruth's thinking. Wendy does these on Clubhouse. She'll actually do a summit and then she'll have everybody gets like a 10-minute slot and it goes all day, you know, just a 1-day summit. And the whole thing, she'll record it and then you can get the recording if you can't attend all day. But what happens is not only do folks get to hear your voice, because again, we talk about in the Build a Better Business part is folks have to get to know, like, and trust you before they're willing to spend some money with you. But the bottom line is they have to at least hear your message. If they don't even know what your message is, you don't have a chance that they're going to sign up for something because they don't even know you, haven't even heard of you yet. And it's a great way to market yourself is to get on some of those summits as a speaker. And we talk about that in the Build a Better Business, that once you make sure you have a place for everybody to land and you know what you're offering, so you can talk distinctly about it, then it's time to start pointing folks back to it. And one of the ways to do that is to get on a summit as a speaker and then point folks back to your products and services. And it's a great way to get to meet other folks. And I know for when it works so well that I had to back off. And Ruth, I don't know about you, but remember when we were getting on Wendy's Clubhouse call every single morning? I ended up getting so much traction from all of the folks that were tapping in that I had to kind of back off a little bit because it was too much. I couldn't handle everybody's request. That's how well it worked. So if you're not getting on Clubhouse on a regular basis, find a couple of large, just like Meetup, find some large groups and get connected. Find a large group that has the same interests as you do, or that has the same audience that you're looking for, and get connected in those Meetup groups, get connected in those Clubhouse groups. And what will happen is you'll start getting some mileage for your own material. Is that helpful for everybody? It's just a reminder. I know we all know that. It's just one of those things that's a reminder. Sometimes I think we're all guilty of kind of, you know, sitting in our living room and saying, I need some more clients. I need more traction. But you have to go out and give someone else your attention, and then you will get attention coming back to you. But you have to give first and receive second. Comments. Platforms. Everybody happy with their platforms? I'm still struggling a little bit with my transition through Vista. I still have one website over there, and I clicked through all the pages the other day, and it all looks pretty good. It went from Vista to Wix, with the exception of my online application looks like a Frankenstein application. So it's now on my checklist of things I have to fix. And what it did, it forced me to really look at that platform. Do I really want to stay there? So,
as in stay on Wix?
Yeah, I've already rolled my kathybinner.com website over to Teachable, because I really had, I had to really make a big decision there. Was I going to really roll up my sleeves and rework this entire website, which was a lot of pages? Was I going to rework the whole thing to make it work on Wix? And if I had to touch every piece of it anyway, was there a better option? And I had to kind of come at it. I had to kind of reverse engineer it. And I told myself, all the money, follow the money, they say, all the money is coming in through Teachable. So it made sense for me, if I was going to move one way or another, it made sense for me to move more toward Teachable instead of more away. And so I simply went over to Teachable, and I thought, if I have to figure out a website design anyway, I might as well figure out the teachable one. So I did, and now my whole KathyBenner.com is on teachable. And I haven't cut loose the Vista/Wix KathyBenner.com. I mean, I've repointed my domain over to teachable, but I haven't canceled the actual platform there on Vista yet, because I still have a couple of pages, like my privacy notice and my terms and conditions. I haven't captured them yet off of the old Wix site and put them over on Teachable yet. So once I get those last two or three little pages rolled over, then I'll cut loose the Vista for the KathyBenner.com altogether. But my Kathy Benner Companies is still there. And that's the one where it looks pretty good, except for the application process. And so now I have to decide, am I going to leave it there or am I going to roll it somewhere different? And I haven't made that decision yet, but it has all my real estate in it. It's where all my tenants go to connect with me. And it's got all the properties. I mean, it's a pretty big website as well. Wow. Yeah. Loaded with pictures. Yeah. Wow. It's pretty loaded. Yeah. So I have to decide what I'm going to do with that one. I haven't tackled it yet.
One at a time. Yeah.
Yeah. Because a quick fix is I could just go into Google Forms and make my application and then just erase that page out of my website and just link the Google Forms. So it'll just be a button. It'll say to apply, click here, and it'll take them out to a Google form. So that would be a quick fix for that. Instead of me figuring out how to create an entire application in Wix, I could just do a Google form.
I have a question though. How's you always see the warnings at the bottom of Google Forms saying that to interpret it that they're inherently insecure. So like, are you having people put a social security number?
No.
In order to like apply for a rental or something?
No, it's just mostly their name and address and a phone number, a way for me to contact them. And then I go through and do all of that more in person.
Ah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that would be a quick fix. I also am on a property management software program called Inago, which we use. My whole mastermind of buy and hold rentals use Inago. And Inago just launched an option that you can do your application inside Inago. And so that is a second option. And I could set up my application in Inago and then just link that Wix website over to Inago. So there's a couple of quick fixes there that I could do without having to learn how to do an application actually inside of Wix. So there's a couple of quick fixes. But I haven't made the decision yet, and I don't have any opening, so I don't have anybody that I'm sending to the application process, but I could get an opening at any time. Somebody could give me their notice that they're leaving. And so recently, and again, there's just so much out there. Recently, I had an opening for my midterm, and I put it out on Zoom. Zoom has an application, or not on Zoom. I put it out on Zillow. And Zillow has an application process built right into Zillow. And the guy actually applied right on Zillow. He didn't go to my website to do the application. He applied right on Zillow. So I could, if I have any openings, simply advertise on Zillow and there's my application already done for me in Zillow. I don't even have to do anything. Zillow does it all. They'll even do the background check on the person.
Nice.
So there's a lot of quick fixes that I could use and not have to address that right now. My biggest fear is that out of sight, out of mind, I guess, unless I'm buying a lot of property or selling a lot of property, I'm not moving that website around a lot. I'm not having to go in and update unless I buy something or sell something. And I either want to add another unit there or I want to take one off. Other than that, I don't change that website a lot. So I could just see this going for several months and it just kind of get forgotten about. And then of course, there's no good time right in the heat of the moment when I've got all these other things to do is when I try to go in and update it and it doesn't work. And then I'm like frustrated. So I know I need to give it attention before it becomes a frustration.
Yeah. And it's like the Eisenhower matrix, urgent versus important. So maybe schedule blocks of time each week to chunk away at that.
Good point. Yes. Yes. I get it. Yeah. Because I can just see where all of a sudden I'll end up having a house that I've sold or one that I've purchased and I now need to advertise it. And all of a sudden it becomes an urgent thing that people can't find it or figure out how to get to it or how to apply. Yeah. So, yeah. So anyway, so that's my last hurdle is the real estate platform. Other than that, I'm pretty happy though with the Teachable one for the KathyBenner.com.
It makes sense because you already have like a camp set there. Mm-hmm. And you were just adding, instead of like paying to host on Wix separately as like an additional drain, you know, it's small, but a drain financially, mm-hmm. you just put it all together. And so that yes. makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it did. It made sense. But it still surprised me how long I had to think over, I had to think through all the different steps and make a decision on what I wanted to do. Because I had looked at the Teachable platform a couple of times and couldn't figure out how to make a website there. Uh-huh. You know, I played around with it. You know, you've got an extra couple of minutes. I played around with it and thought, I don't know how they do that. That doesn't make sense to me. And I had even Google searched a couple of things and I had YouTube searched a couple of things. I had gone into the actual Teachable university, you know, where they've got all of their how-to videos. And nothing really clicked for me. It just seemed like I had just enough of disconnected information that I couldn't quite make it click. And when this happened with Vista and Wix, I remember the morning that I woke up and looked at myself in the mirror and said, Kathy, you are smart enough to figure this out. And I sat down and I said, I dedicated the day and I said, I am not getting up from this computer until I figure out how to make a homepage on this Teachable and redirect my viewers to the homepage instead of to my course page. And I just started and I thought, you know what, I might click around and get it all screwed up, but I'm going to figure it out. And I'm not going to know, and it's what I teach. I'm not going to know. I'm not going to have clarity until I start. I can't sit here and wait for it to be clear and then start. I have to start first and then let it become clear. And so once I started, I was like, oh, so that's how that works. Oh, well, I need to click this over and click. And then all of a sudden I was building the website there. So it wasn't as hard as I was telling myself it was.
Yeah. We can psych ourselves out, you know?
So anyway, so now that it's there and I'm already paying, I'm like, how can I put the actual rentals there somewhere? Can I do that? That's really a conflict of objectives. Mm. And I'm thinking that might be a little too confusing. And confusion repels. Uh-huh. When it's too confusing, people are like, it's too confusing. I'm not going to try to figure it out. Right. And so they move on. So that might be a little too confusing because see, now I'm like, I'm already paying for that. Can I do it all right there? Uh-huh. So now I'm thinking, probably not. The only way, and so for those of you that are doing your own, the only way that I can see that might work is that there is a way to create a page and then not publish it. But anyone that has the link can see it.
Right.
So the only time that people need to find my real estate is if they want to do a real estate deal with me. I could send them the link to that page. But they wouldn't be able to find it just out on the internet.
Yeah. And don't you want SEO to be your friend? Or don't you?
The problem is with my real estate is that right now everything's full. It all kind of is passive. It all kind of runs itself. And I get 30 to 40 calls a day from wholesalers wanting to offer me a deal to buy one of my properties because they see I have all these properties and they're like, are you interested in selling Washington Street? I'm like, no. Well, how about, are you interested in selling Maple Street? No. Well, how about Wheelington? I said, no, just take me off your list. And I go through that about 30 times a day of my website.
Oh, all right. So you'd rather be a little bit more hidden. Yeah.
So the only time that people really need to see my website is if they say, do you have anything available? And I can say, yes, go to my website and you'll see what's available. You'll see where it's located and there'll be a link that you can click and apply. And, but usually it's because I've advertised somewhere on Facebook or on Zillow or whatever that I have a unit available. And then the person will reach out and say, I'm interested in your unit. But most people are not just looking for real estate websites unless they have a need for a piece of real estate. Mm-hmm. So I'm debating. I have, the jury's still out on that one. I haven't made a final decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. The initial thing I need to do is figure out where I'm going to send them for their application. In case I do have, because I can use the website the way it is, other than that application page. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting. You have some like powerful industry based, you know, purpose built software that you could use.
Yeah. And the surprising one was the Zillow, because a lot of folks, just like Zoom, a lot of folks in the real estate world are familiar with Zillow. Everybody is like, oh, look on Zillow. Well, Zillow has now launched this whole rental side, you know, where you can put your rental properties up there. And my last couple of tenants came from Zillow. I found that they were a better quality tenant than what I was getting off of Facebook Marketplace. Facebook Marketplace is everybody on welfare saying, you know, do you take Section 8? And I've got 20 kids and 10 dogs and I need a 3-bedroom house for free.
And I smoke.
Yeah. And we all smoke. and my son does drugs. I can't get him off the couch. By the way, can we live in your house?
Ew, no.
And so finally I just said, you know what? I'm not going to advertise on Marketplace anymore. But that where do you advertise? Well, then Craigslist, the scammers got into Craigslist. And so then I said, okay, well, I really don't want to be on Craigslist because of the scammers. And so then I went to Zillow and I actually had a better response. So anyway, so it's all good. Debbie had another call. So anyway, it's all good. And I just now need to, tighten up my platform for the real estate. Other than that, I feel pretty good about my choices so far.
Good.
So are you good? Do you need anything from me? Are you good with what you're doing and ready to... Do you want to practice your, when you put together the one day masterclass or whatever you want to do leading up to your launch, do you want to practice that somewhere?
You mean like on a office call with you or what?
Well, or on one of the Zoom meetings.
Maybe.
So, well, let me know. Because you're welcome to do that. And then I can help market that.
Yeah.
Think about how I can help market you in the groups, whether it be the Facebook group or the meetup group or whatever.
Yeah, I would love that. But our next meeting in this group will be at the end of the month again.
Mm-hmm.
And actually the other one is at the end of the month as well. So I'll try to reach out to you, maybe and set up an office thing and just explore some ideas with you, if that would work.
Okay.
You're traveling sometime.
Well, we go to Detroit this week for a couple of days, but then we don't leave for Florida until August.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're here the rest of July.
And your calendar will reflect what's cool with you,
yes.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But if there's some way that I could market you in one of the groups, I'd be happy to do that.
That would be so wonderful.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to put out to you, you were mentioning about being able to take over a meetup. If you notice a meetup that is hostless, And it's not one you want to take over. I'd love to have you let me know about it.
Okay, sure. Yeah, and like the one I did for Debbie. I just happened to be a member of that one. So I got the letter that said this has no organizer. And then I happened to be a member of that one for short-term rentals that I grabbed. And then I ended up grabbing one for newbie real estate investors. So I ended up grabbing three. And I had a couple of people that quit the group when they realized it was a new originator, but most of the folks stayed because I immediately created some events and it actually became more interesting instead of less interesting to the members. Nice. Because all of a sudden I created events right away because the other organizer was fizzling out and they had kind of quit doing events. So the key is you have to be a member of the group to get the email that says it needs an organizer. And so I haven't joined a lot of new groups lately. So I'm sure there's a ton of them out there that would fit what you're doing, but I'm not a member of some of those.
Right, right. Well, I just thought I'd put it out there. If you hear one, it could be considered, you know?
Yeah,
and then
I'll look
for groups also and see if there are some that I should add that I should be beginning.
Are you on Meetup now?
Okay. Not as a host, just
but as members.
Yeah.
Join as many groups that you see that either have the same audience as you or has the same interest, you know, that are kind of in the same lane as you. Those are the groups that you kind of want to already be a member, because if, like when I called Debbie, she didn't have a meet, she had to get in and sign up and get an account and do all of that. And we were afraid that somebody was going to grab that before she got her in taken care of.
Right.
Yeah. So you might want to see early on which groups you're interested in and go ahead and be a member so that you get notification early.
Right.
Because it doesn't take long for somebody else to step up and take it. Like Ruth had called me. She got the email. She called me. I was right in front of my computer. I opened up my Meetup and somebody had taken it.
Oh my.
Now, as you heard the story, it was her girlfriend that she didn't know it was her girlfriend had taken it because she didn't recognize the name. And so she now is going to get to be the co-organizer, which is going to work out for her because she really wasn't sure she wanted to be the organizer anyway.
Uh-huh.
So this was actually a win-win for her. But you almost have to be that fast because somebody will see the opportunity there.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. I remember the one for the newbie real estate investors was also a friend of mine. And he decided he was getting out of trying to do any type of meetups like that because he had taken a job where he was going to get a paycheck. And he decided he didn't really on his free time want to try to handle this meetup and try to, as we like to say, drag people along because he was going to actually get a job with a paycheck and he was going to get out of all that. So I was a member of that group and I forget where I was. I was out somewhere and it popped up in my inbox that this guy had stepped down as organizer. And I was like, what? And I remember that I actually went in on my phone and grabbed it right there on my phone because I had a Meetup account. I only had two. I was only hosting two. I knew I had a third one and I immediately clicked the yes button that I would be the organizer. And then I came back to my office and called him and I said, are you really giving this up or did you just forget to pay your bill? And he was like, no, I'm really giving it up. And then I said, well, I didn't, I said, I grabbed it to save it for you. I said, I really didn't, you know. Now that happened one other time and it was a Block O, which was, it's called Block O Meet and Greet here in Columbus, Ohio. And it was just a general networking group and it had everybody in it from all different business types. And that one came up and I grabbed it and I called the girl and she was like, oh my God, no. She said, we're traveling. She goes, I bet my Meetup invoice came due. We're out of the country. I didn't pay it. She said, no, I don't want to give that one up. And I said, well, I will stay the organizer until you get back in the country. Get a hold of me when you're ready. Because I said, I don't want to step down until you're ready to grab it.
Oh, wow.
And so I basically gave that one back to her.
Yeah, but she is loyal to you for life now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, she hosted me. She hosted some of my events. I was a speaker for her organization. Yeah.
Yeah. It all came around for sure.
Yes. Yes. So well, there's all kinds of ways you can use that to your advantage.
Right. I do have a question, though. Like, let's say I join 6 groups and one of them comes up. My only meetup account is as just a member. Would I be able to step up and then they would invoice me?
I think so.
There wouldn't be like a delay in the grabbing process.
Okay. No, I think you can step up and then it'll say, I think it'll take you, but you might have to sign up as you're stepping up.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be like, yeah you can have this for only $98.
Yes. Right? Yeah. I think it's something like that. And then you say yes, and you have to put in your name, address, phone number, credit card number. And then it'll say you are now the organizer. Now, okay. What I don't know is while you're going through that process, does it show, like say you're booking a room at a hotel, once you click book now, while you're in the booking process, no one else can book that room because got the booking portal opened up. That's what I don't know about Meetup is if you say yes and you've got that opened up, does it prevent anybody else from becoming the organizer just while you're typing in your name and phone number and stuff?
Right. I would like to think that it's a lot like the hotel booking, but who knows?
Yeah. See, I don't know how they have what I call the back of the house set up.
Right.
So I don't know. So I would feel bad if you went through that and you paid the $98 and then it said, oh, Susie's the organizer now. Thanks for your interest. And then you're like, oh, I just paid my $98 and now I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the part I don't know. Now, what you could do is you could go ahead and if you're thinking you're leaning that direction anyway, you could go ahead and create your account where you could have up to 3 and go ahead and start a meetup for you, for your business, for you, for what you're doing now. And now see, you're already open to building your team, your audience, and you've got 2 more. If something else opens up, you can just say yes and it clicks right in.
Good idea.
If you're ready to start building there.
Yeah.
You do have to have some activity. You know, because it's called Meetup. So they want to know, how are you going to meet? You know, what is this meetup that you're doing?
Yeah. So that'll be something else for me to give consideration to. What kind of content would I bring? You know, what frequency of meeting and, you know, how could I make it interesting and enticing to people?
Yeah. So I would think first step would be to maybe just go over there and scroll around and look and see what other folks are doing in your field. See if there's any, like when Ruth ran across this book club and it was all about self-help and, you know, and just becoming a better you. She was like, she's all about relationships. She was like, oh, that's right up my alley. And then some of the books that they had listed that they wanted to use in the book club was some of her favorite books. She was like, yeah, I'm going to join this. So she joined it a couple of months ago, but they weren't really doing anything. They just kept saying, we're going to have these books. And then all of a sudden she got the note that said the organizer had stepped down.
Yeah.
But she was just primed right there.
Yeah. Well, these are all really good ideas. I'm glad we covered what we did today.
Yeah. Good news. Anyway, we've gone over, but it was a great conversation. Linda, thank you so much for tapping in.
Absolutely. I'm glad I was able to come because up until about, what time did this start? Up until about 11:30, I was not coming.
Wow.
I had to get ready for that house guest.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you could make it and sorry about the house guest, but I'm glad that you could make it. And I can't wait to see what's next, but let me know how I can help promote what you're doing.
Yeah. Thank you for your generosity and I'll definitely stay in touch. Thanks.
Okay.
I'll let you go because I'm sure you have another meeting coming up. So
yep. Care. See you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.